Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour back in our Father's Word. Well, we come to chapter 2 and about verse 20. I want to recap just a little bit what we covered so far. The minor prophets are not minor because they're of less importance. They're minor just because they're shorter. And Hosea being the first, really, of the minor prophets, and some even feel of many of the major, because of the in the beginning statement. But mother, who was the harlot, that's to say Gomer, he would say in that 11th verse of this second chapter, I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and her solemn feast. Now, I don't want you to read over that. And I want you to understand how God dislikes her feast. Not God's feast. Not God's Sabbath. But these false religions that make religions out of days and moons and feast days of their own. As an example, the high Sabbath always comes on the 14th, at the sunset, at the 14th day of the new year. Okay, well, that's when the spring equinox cuts it, and 14 days and the 15th, that's the true Sabbath. Okay, but when we switched calendars to the Gregorian calendar, which we now use, they had 11 days that they threw away. Didn't know what to do with. Now, there is no way you can throw 11 days away and have Saturday still mean the original Saturday. It will not fly, okay? So, and this is the way people that listen to man and man's traditions and follow man's way of worship rather than the knowledge of God. Well, how do I attain knowledge of God? From the letter he's written to you. He's letting you know here, I'm fed up with her. I don't appreciate her religion, okay, because it's false. And, of course, I went into that, and I said, well, many today would say, well, thank goodness our church doesn't do that, and they worship Ishtar, a pagan fertility rite, instead of Passover. The word Ishtar or Easter is not even in the manuscripts. You'll find it only one place in the English King James in the book of Acts. But if you take your Strong's Concordance and go back, you will find it's not Ishtar, it's Paschal, which is the Greek word for Passover. So a lot of people deceive themselves. And our Father doesn't consider it funny, okay? Because these are the high holy days of Christianity. Father's days. Not man's traditions. So this is why he was so upset. But his loving kindness is that even after he tells Hosea to go marry a harlot, and then these children were born, being symbolic of how God would reclaim his people, then makes it very clear that he intends to take her back. And that in verse 16, they would no longer call him master, but call him husband, Ishai, in the Hebrew tongue. And so it is, excuse me, even to this day, that our Father continued, he sent the Savior, which Hosea means salvation, okay? That's why this is such an important book. And Yahshua, in the Hebrew tongue, that's Yahweh's Savior, is Jesus, okay, so the Christ. So we pick it up then with verse 20 as he's stating, I'm going to reclaim, and he's talking to the children here, not the harlot. He's talking to the children. If you straighten up, because the children can't help it, if the parent bite on a sour grape, it doesn't set the children's teeth on edge, okay, you got it? Verse 20 of chapter 2, with the word of wisdom from our Father, let's go with it, and it reads, I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. It is that knowledge, that knowing, that sets you apart. Because there are some people that don't want to know, could care less about knowing, and certainly their faith is a little slack. Okay, they're faithless rather than faithfulness. The knowledge of God is a wonderful thing. It will set you free if you will learn it. It sets you free from the hang-ups of this earth age and bring you blessings from on high, from our Father. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass, not maybe, it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord. I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And that is his promise, and that is the future balance of God's control. Verse 22, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. This is why he said, name that boy Jezreel. Why? Because in the Hebrew tongue, it has twofold meaning. It means to scatter, but it also means to sow with the thought of broadcasting. That's the way you scatter seed, and that sows it. Okay. But what he meant was, spiritually speaking, he was going to take those 10 northern tribes, which this is written to and concerning, that they would go into captivity. He would scatter them all over the world. But in the end times, they would be sown, and that truth would come forward. That's why this great nation, America, is in God's Word. That's why it is blessed. That's why that God will continue to bless her with correcting things along when people, if they should ever try to go to socialism or communism or something of that nature, which does away with Christianity, God will put a stop to it. Okay. Abruptly. And he will get people's attention. Our Father, when he knocks on the door and gets attention, you want to pay attention. But God is not going to forsake his people. He says, I'm going to betroth them. That's why when Christ returns at the seventh trump, he wants a virgin bride. He doesn't want someone that's been catting around with the false Christ. So you want to really pay attention. Knowing your faithfulness to stay true to the Father, not fall off to the Antichrist, and to know him, to know God's truth, is to set you free. It's to bring you sowing as God would do, scattered and sowing. Our Father knows exactly what he's doing. You remember the names of the other two children? They're going to come up now. I'll call it to your attention. Verse 23. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. Now, what is her name? Mercy. Had no mercy. Rohama. Okay. And lo rohama means not loved. But he says, I'm going to have mercy. In other words, she's going to be called rohama, not lo, because I love her. Okay. And I will say to them that were not my people. What is not my people in the Hebrew tongue? Lo-ami. Name that boy Lo-ami. Not my people. He said, you take that one that was not my people, thou art my people. In other words, Ami. I will call them Ami, and they shall say, thou art my God. When they finally wake up and realize, is it not amazing? We can put our hands in our pocket and take out a coin, and it will say, in God we trust. How many really know the significance of that? This great nation and the free world, the Christian nations of the world, how that God looks over them, how God blesses them. They're free. They're not in bondage, as some would try to have them. Don't ever try it. It will not work. Why? Because God is on the throne, and God is in control. He will betroth her. He will reclaim her. He knows exactly what he's doing. But do not ever think that causes or want to escape correction. Because as long as God loves you, he will chastise you if you step out of line. Otherwise, he loves you and will bless you. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet. Love a woman, beloved of her friend. This needs a little bit of work. Let's assume some think that this is still speaking of Gomer. It isn't. Okay. Gomer apparently had passed away or something. But because the word yet should be translated again. Go again. Love a woman, behold of her friend. And her friend, of course, was Hosea, okay, her husband. Yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. I should say raisin cakes, double cakes, okay? They're drunkards. Excessive in everything. And this is what I want you to do. There's a sort of a reclamation in this that God is reclaiming. Okay, and he's telling Hosea, you go take her. And there will be considerable discipline exercised within this. And the translation of some of these verses is a little bit on the tough side, but not if you just let it flow. You with companion Bibles, it will help you a great deal. Verse 2, so I brought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. That's the price of redeeming or reclaiming a slave. Okay, and for an homer of barley and an half homer of barley. And here he was in verse 3, and I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. You're sequestered. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to be catting around. You are going to sit. You're going to stay with me. I have paid the price, and so it is. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. In other words, you're going to wait for me. I'm waiting for you. Period. That's it. And we see here that God wants to reclaim Israel. You know, and this is what repentance is about. When you repent, you have a clean slate, a fresh start. Verse 4, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. Undisciplined, so to speak. Why? Most of them don't even know who they are. Those 10 tribes that went north over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Europe, many of them later moving to Canada and the Americas, they haven't got a clue. They don't have a king. Why? Well, because when Jeroboam dispersed by the captivity of the Assyrian, they don't even know who they are, a nation to have a king. Okay, and without a prince. And without a sacrifice, they're not going to be sacrificing to the Lord living God, okay? And without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. I'm going to take all that junk away from you. Do you know what he's going to replace it with? You don't want to get all nervous about the teraphim and this, that, and the other being gone. He's going to replace it with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's for everyone. For all whom will believe. And so it is. And it's going to happen. It's going to take a long time. I'm taking the tools of your trade, your false religions, and throwing them out. Verse 5, afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God. They're finally going to wake up. And David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Why? Because it's talking about the Savior. He's going to send the offspring of David out of the stem of Jesse, which is to say the Lord Jesus Christ. And the children will return at that time, will wake up, will recognize who they are. Now, chapter 4 has to do with knowledge. And God's people suffer for lack of knowledge. And knowledge, why would you say that? Because it brings blessings. If you seek knowledge, well, I don't learn real quick. I'm not, well, pray about it. A child can understand the Word of God if you just take a little time and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you and forget about all the junk of religions, false teachings, traditions of man that make void the Word of God. Listen to it and let it flow. That's kind of what this chapter is about. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. That's not difficult, is it? Ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. They've lost him. They have no idea. They have no king over the 10 tribes of Israel. The 10 tribes of Israel, God didn't lose them. They lost their own way. They don't know the glory of God. They don't know that all they have to do is follow him and be blessed, to be prosperous. Why? Because God loves his children. Verse 2, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. It's just murder after one after another. But do you know what the real murder is here? It's the murder of souls. It is bad enough for someone to shed the blood and murder someone. But when a false preacher kills the very spirit and brings about the spiritual death of someone that really wants to follow God by his false teachings, his ego, or something else, that's really bad. And that's what God is talking about here. Because of lack of knowledge, many people don't know who to follow. And it's so simple. All you got to do is prove a man or woman or even a child out in the Word of God. It's that simple. It's there before you all the time. I don't know, can you read? And if you can't, many people can't, then God does send a teacher for those to assist and to help them in that respect, to understand the language, to understand the metaphors, the idioms, figures of speech, because our people are always rich in using those. And sometimes from the ancient, it can be very confusing. But yet at the same time, let it flow and be on guard. And when something isn't clear, all you got to do is ask him. That is to say, if it doesn't come clear, tell him. That's the way you pray. Father, I don't quite understand this. Please let me see the light. Now, man many times will confuse the word. So you got to take that into consideration and go to the original and go from there. What's happening? Rightly dividing that word to put everything in its proper place. Verse 33. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, even the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. When God withdraws his blessings, a nation suffers. Okay. And many, we have pollution to the point that you've got to be careful what kind of fish you eat. You get overloaded on mercury. Okay, got to be real careful. And God does when the land mourns. You mess around. Let's just be honest with ourselves. The land, when you play stupid, God will correct you for it. And any time that a nation that is high-tech as we are allows itself to have to depend on foreign oil to the point of $700 billion a year is stupid. Okay. That, talk about the land mourning. No one can live under those circumstances. You're going to pay. And it's time for the nation to look around and say, where did we go wrong? You got away from God's plan. And you know, when you go from one foot to deeper into the grave and try to leave God's free will and way out and bring in the sister of communism, you're really getting into it. Talk about a nation that'll mourn. Okay. But that's the way God operates. You know, he's going to give us a little example. Let's listen to it. Verse 4. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Well, what's he talking about? The priest that's appointed by God. Do you know where this happened? You go back to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1. What happened? Well, Korah and a few of the other boys came up to Moses and Aaron and said, you all take too much on yourself. We're breaking away from you. Don't want to have anything to do with you. We're a lot holier than you are. And Moses began to pray, and there was a great division in the camp. But these boys wanted to take over. It was God that instructed Moses to lead the people. It was God that touched Aaron and put him in charge, not man. It was God's anointing. And there came a time, he said, Moses told him, you better get your incense, you better get your act together, and you better pray to the Father. And the Lord told him, says, hey, get them out there, but you separate yourself from those that want to go the other way. I mean, they're arguing with the priest of God here, Moses and Aaron. And I'm paraphrasing, in a sense, the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy. And what they did, the next day, they go out, and here's Moses and the people that followed him that were true to God on this side of the line. The line was drawn. And here's Korah and all the rest of them over on that side. And God cracked the earth asunder. And the other, all those that would argue with the true priest of God fell into that crevice. And the crevice fell. All their cattle, their houses, their stock, their tents, their dwellings, their families. And the crevice closed in over them and they perished. It's what God's talking about, okay? He said, in other words, what God is saying, I won't put up with it. Okay. Don't argue with the word. It is written, and as it is written, so it shall be. And that's what our Father means by this. If you ever want to get a lesson of how God can correct you, you want to read that 16th chapter of Deuteronomy. It was a sad state of affairs. Verse 5, to continue in the fourth chapter of Hosea, salvation. Therefore shall thou fall in the day, and the prophet, this is the false one here, the false prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. In other words, destroy means I'm going to cut off Israel. And cut her off. You know, from blessings. And boy, does it show sometimes when the nation pains, when the nation hurts, that it's been cut off. Verse 6. My people, listen carefully, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God. You don't teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. You get some one verse revolving rev and go off on tangents. I will also forget thy children. That's your congregation. That's sad. Children and the people perish for lack of knowledge when fathers sin. The wisest counsel in the world that there's ever been is the Word of God, telling you how to be blessed and how to be happy, how to be prosperous. Even in the, you know, the nation can be going in a basket right straight down. But if you're blessed, then you're fine. God takes care of His own. He gave us that shining example of that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. I mean, that was getting pretty bad when Nebuchadnezzar had to toss them in there, heating it 7 times hotter than necessary, and they were just fine. Right in the middle of all the turmoil, they succeeded. What? You can't touch God's children, or God will do as he did in the days of Moses and Aaron, there in Deuteronomy chapter 16. Our Father takes care of his own. If you want to perish because of lack of knowledge, why? God sent you the knowledge. If you reject it, hey, have a good trip. Everyone, you know, you have free will to make your own mind up about everything. If you want to reject God's word, fantastic. Just go right on about your way. It's all right. You won't have anyone begging you to go the other way. All right. You make up your own mind, but you make your own bed, and boy, are you going to sleep in it. That's your choice. And that's the way it should be. That's the way God intended it. You want to make it hard on yourself? Have to it. Or you can seek the knowledge of God and prosper. Have peace of mind. Sleep good at night. Have a happy family. Be blessed of God right in the middle of turmoil. Because you love him. Okay? And you seek that knowledge. And you seek that wisdom. Do not ever reject the word of God, or the whole congregation suffers. It is real sad. Well, many might say, well, we go to church. Do you really? Well, what happens in that building? And I'm not knocking churches to per se. There's good churches. But if God's word isn't taught there, it's a waste of time. Okay, you're flat wasting your time. Because knowledge keeps you from perishing. It brings God's blessings and causes you to prosper, you and the church. You know, if churches would teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, you wouldn't have these people sending these letters begging all the time. Begging for money. Why? Because God will prosper you. You don't have to beg to have a ministry that teaches God's word properly. But when you find one of these ministries that spend half their time begging for money, then you might say, well, you just have to support us or we won't be here anymore. Oh, well, hey, if that's the case and they spend half their time doing that, God probably wants them gone. Okay. That's the way it is. People perish for lack of knowledge. And knowledge is the word of God. What did the first verse, line, sentence in this chapter say? Hear the word of the Lord. Okay. Verse 7. As they were increased, they multiplied, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. This needs a little bit of work on it. You with companion Bibles, it'll straighten it out for you. It should read, you notice the word therefore is supplied. It doesn't need it. What it says is, as they were increased, they sinned and changed my glory to shame. Changed God's glory to shame. Verse 8. They eat up the sin of my people. And they set their heart on their iniquity. In other words, what does it mean they eat up the sin? They eat up the sin offering. Okay. No one, absolutely no one, no priest was ever to eat or partake of the sin offering. Okay. That was strictly to the fathers. Okay. No priest should ever have touched it. He said, you gobble it up. And you expect God to bless that? And they set their heart on their iniquity. In other words, they encourage people to do what's wrong. You know, you like to think, well, is it in ignorance, or is it just carelessness, or is it to go with the flow? And I suppose in this generation, with the way people are educated, it possibly is go with the flow. Just go with the flow. Okay. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't go with the flow of God, that is to say to gain knowledge and wisdom from His Word, you're not going to be blessed. Period. Okay. Do not partake of the sin offering. Verse 9, and there shall be like people like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. I'm going to treat them the same. I'm not only going to punish the priest. You see, judgment begins at the pulpit. That's why if God calls you to teach, you better know coming out the gate, He's going to judge you first for what you do. And that is a charge that is accepted by any person that's called into the ministry. Is you better do your homework real good because you're going to be judged first by it. And you mislead people. And as we started out, if you cause someone to sin, to cause their spirit to be deader than a hammer, that is to say, to drift away from God, you're responsible. That's murder. That's spiritual murder. Is to cause someone to be spiritually dead. Dead to what? Dead to the truth. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So you want to bring people to the Word of God. So what he's saying is, I'm going to do it. I'm going to punish them all. Why? Because everyone can read, basically. And God sends teachers to those that can't. I don't handicap people. I don't want you to feel bad. God always takes care of His own, loves His children. But those that know better and can, He's going to hold you responsible for not digging into the letter He sent to you, telling you how to overcome in this wicked world, in this wicked time, to know and to understand and to follow our Heavenly Father. Okay, so our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Think about it. Don't ever be caught short in that department. Strive for the mark. Strive to gain that knowledge. Let God be in your life, and God will lead you. All right, bless your heart, you. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, hey, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you got a question, you share it. Once you do that, again, please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination or organization. We don't judge people. Our Father's the judge, and boy, does He do a good job of it, okay? So, but you are to discern spirits, you're to discern truth, and you're to flow with it, the real course, okay? Our Father's Word. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure. Now, you got a prayer request, you don't need that number. You don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. Do you know something? He's your Father. He's the Father of your very soul. He created it. And do you know something else? Even the flesh body that He brought you into, nobody else has the same DNA that you do. He created you unique because He wanted someone just like you. But He wants you to love Him because He has a destiny and a purpose for you. It's written in the Word. Father, around the globe, we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and we go to questions. We're going to go with Eve from Texas. On Thursday morning in the question segment, you mentioned something about not receiving offering of the harlots or dogs. Please show me in what book and chapter and verse I may find this. Thank you for your teaching. Well, you'll find it in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 18. And I'll say that again. Deuteronomy 23, 18. But you're not going to understand it quite in the English because it's an idiom. Okay. What it means is don't bring the price of a female or male prostitute into the church, the temple. It has nothing to do with the canine other than the male prostitute's method of prostitution. Don't have it in the temple. That's what it means. Deuteronomy 23:18. Tony from Washington. If we are still in flesh bodies when we know that the true Christ is not here, that's right. When we are in spirit bodies, will we know for sure that we are in spiritual bodies? Of course you will. Why? Because the seventh trump will have sounded and Christ will be here. And the destruction of and falseness will certainly have taken place. Senor Murray, hello and God bless you, sir. My name is Cesar Risa from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I would like to ask you about Genesis 3:11, where God asked Adam, "Who told you that thou wast naked? Was the fruit of the tree, which is ultimately the seed of that tree, spoken words, and was Cain the seed of that fruit?" You will find that he was, and it's documented in Matthew chapter 13, verses 38 and 39, where Christ is talking about the wicked seed that was planted by the devil, the children of the devil. Okay? And gracias and de nada. Okay. Marty from Washington, my question is, why does Ecclesiastes 12, 6, and 7 and 1 Corinthians 15, 51, and 52 speak differently about the Spirit returning back to God, such as the dead shall rise first, and they shall be in the ground or Spirit waiting, or shall we be raised now? Well, you're kind of messing yourself up. Because you're not quoting 1 Corinthians 15, 51, and 52 when you say that the dead rise first. Okay. You're quoting 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. And there's no contradiction. What is the difference in saying Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 6 and 7, instantly your spirit, the intellect of your soul, returns to the Father that gave it, and this flesh goes back to dirt? Okay. What is the difference in saying that and saying the dead in Christ rise first? It means the word resurrect has threefold meaning. It means to raise to a higher level of thinking. That's to say, loving Christ. It means to accept Christ and his teachings. And it means to resurrect in the sense of going from flesh body into spiritual body. That's a higher level. Okay? Because our spiritual bodies are far higher above these withering, sickly flesh bodies. Okay, so there's no difference. The dead rise first. They rise instantly. What you want to do, you've missed the whole subject matter to what probably is hanging you up, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, where the subject is fixed. You've always got to go with that subject. What does it say? It's Paul teaching. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant like the heathen are about where the dead are, is what the subject is. If you believe Christ rose from the dead, out of that tomb, and you have to or you're not a Christian, okay, then you have to also believe those that are asleep or dead in him are with him. They've risen also. So that's where the subject begins, and then pick it up from there and you'll do fine. God's word does not contradict itself, but many times through translations, man can confuse himself. Jamie from Florida, I was baptized by a false teacher, and I'm wondering if I need to be rebaptized. Your baptism took place between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, not some preacher. Okay. The real truth of the matter, a preacher doesn't have anything to do with it. I know that upsets some reverends right there, okay, for me to say that, but it's true. Baptism is a very personal thing between the individual and the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father. The Holy Spirit, that's to say the Spirit of both of them. If you knew when you were being baptized that you were being baptized to the Lord Jesus Christ, that fake's not going to have anything to do with it, okay? So, but at the same time, if you feel you're not cleansed, then by all means, go ahead. But it isn't necessary if your mind was in the right frame. Doesn't matter whether his was or not. Annie from Indiana. My sister and others in my past have told me we are not supposed to read the Bible in order of front cover to the end. Is this true? Well, you know, you can read the Bible any way you want to, okay, or however you... I believe that Father leads us to study as he would like us to. And I'm a believer of what I teach. So if you feel that's true, then it is, okay? I don't believe it. Is there somewhere in the Bible to prove or disprove this? I'm planning to read the Bible from front to back in that order. I want to share the truth. Please help me. My life began to be blessed when our Father brought your program into my life. And less than 2 years ago, I trust your teachings because it has brought me to the light. With love and appreciation, you are so welcome, Annie, from Indiana. Darling, you just study the Word however you feel led of God, okay? I truly feel that God leads each one of us. But rightly dividing the Word of God, I mean, don't just read it to be reading, but read in study and understanding carefully, and you'll do just fine. You're in good shape, okay? Sean from, I don't know where Sean is. Will God come when I'm 13? Sincerely, Sean. Well, Sean, how old are you now? This has been set. Well, wait a minute. Maybe this is part of it. Let's see here. Pastor Murray, I have a question. I'm 7 years old. I'm Madeline from Ohio. Does God get really mad when people don't study? I love Madeline from Ohio. God's work rocks. Well, it sure does. It rocks in a good way, too. When God is happy when people study, but different people have different appetites, okay? And when people don't study God's Word at all, yeah, he gets a little upset. And I'm going to assume that Sean is your brother, and you tell him that only the Lord knows when that time is, but we're getting closer to it, okay? David from Kentucky. If someone like me that used to do a lot of everything, bad, drink, drugs, never dependable, stolen things, had when a teenager, didn't believe in God, could I still be one of Father's elect if I have turned from my evil doings because I can't wait to stand against Satan? Well, what kind of example did Paul set? I mean, Paul persecuted the church with zeal. He was, before he was converted, he was just as hard on the church being against it as he was for it after the conversion. And God struck him down on the road to Damascus when he had a letter in his pocket giving him permission to go to Damascus and destroy the church. Drag him right out in the street. And God struck him down and converted him. God can use whomever he will. Okay. Now, that's not a good set of credentials. Okay. I've heard preachers say, I was a drunk and I was this and God touched me. I don't like credentials like that. Okay. I really do not. I believe God can use whomever he will. But I wouldn't use that for credentials to putting myself down the road into understanding God's word, okay? But, yeah, you could certainly be one of God's elect. Danny from Iowa. My question is, when we get to heaven, will we remember the first earth age? I think we will. As a matter of fact, the mind is a fantastic thing. And you can't invent a computer that can do what our minds can store. And I've always marveled at Patton, General Patton, World War II. George Patton, great man. Strong man. But he worshipped the art of strategy, of war. I mean, when he was in Greece, he would marvel. I could almost remember, and he knew every battle, how it went. So I kind of feel like somebody that is that attached to ancient wars, and what happened there was peeping a little, maybe even before he was born, and it kind of came back. Now, is that possible? It's not written. Who knows? But we all have those little moments. It seems like I've been here before. It seemed like I should know that. And the way God deals with us, it's an interesting thing. Yes, we will definitely remember the first earth age at that time. Tom from Wisconsin, for a person who has never had an earthly father, how can that person love their heavenly father? Well, it's real simple. He's your real father anyway. You know, I never was around my father. I was raised by my grandparents and others, okay, and other people. I was never really around my father. But boy, do I love my Heavenly Father. So you're looking at a prime example that just takes your little theory and just whacks it right down the middle. Okay? Don't you ever try to use that as an excuse. Poor boy, you didn't got no daddy. You get a hold of your bootstraps and you pick yourself up and you act like a man. And if you have children, you show them what a father's like. Don't you be crying in your beer. You be a man. You play the man. There'll be some that'll say, well, you were too hard on him. I'm an old Marine sergeant, okay? And I don't like wimps. And I don't like people putting shortcomings off on other people. I think every person is responsible for their own actions, all right? Not being around your father doesn't keep you from loving our Heavenly Father. Shirley from Nevada. Will eternity look exactly as it did in the first earth age, and will the dinosaurs and our present day animals all dwell together with us as in the first earth age? They won't be the same. Because as it is written in Isaiah chapter 11, there's no carnivores. Okay, you don't have one animal trying to eat another because they're all in spiritual bodies. So we can't really say it's just the same, but because we'll all be in different bodies. Even the body we will be in, the eternal spiritual body, will not be like the one in the first earth age or in this. And this is why Jesus would say, when they would say, which of her husbands will she be with? And he said, you don't know what you're talking about. Because you don't give or take in marriage in heaven, which is to say that third body. Joan from Alabama. Will taking pain pills for back pain after surgery keep me from going to heaven? Of course not. Of course not. You know, Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, was a physician. He was a medical doctor. Okay. That's why we students of God's Word can spot Luke's work when he wrote, even was a scribe for Paul, is he uses medical terms in the Greek, and man, we can spot him as sticks out like a sore thumb, okay? But God gives us these things to utilize in the right way. Not in the wrong way, but in the right way. And after surgery, there's nothing certainly wrong with it. Naturally, get off of them as quick as you can when the pain subsides. Don't get hooked on them, but there's certainly nothing wrong with taking them. Frank from Indiana. I've heard you refer to Job 40 saying the behemoth as dinosaurs. I've looked up behemoth in the Strong's, and it's 930 Hebrew says it is a hippopotamus. Please explain. Well, let me tell you something. We can't have, you know, human beings are not perfect. But I want you to go back to 40, and I want you to read what behemoth had. What did behemoth have for a tail? The behemoth had a tail like a cedar of Lebanon. That thing was many feet long. Have you ever seen a hippopotamus? He's got a little pig tail, okay? It won't fit, okay? So you have to put the gray matter in gear, and God is very good at describing something. He said the hind legs on that thing were powerful. It's the exact example of a dinosaur. So don't let books, sometimes you have to give a little credit, but watch what you're reading, okay? Recognize a pig's tail when you see one, okay? And know what a dinosaur's tail is when you see one of them. Hopefully not soon, but Kim from Minnesota. If there are no female angels, why did God make the males so they could reproduce? This was this earth age, okay? For this earth age. It was different in the first earth age, all right? Marsha from Michigan. I like to ask that if we don't go to church on a regular basis, but we read the Bible at our home, is that really bad? No, it's not bad at all. It's good. You know, especially if you go to a church where they don't teach the Bible. If you go to church and spend a whole hour and only one verse is covered from God's Word, and then you listen to some man yakking for an hour, okay? Well, what good did it do to go there? How many verses did you read at home when you were studying the Bible? Now, and I know it may sound like I'm teaching against churches. I'm not, okay? Thank goodness, you know, they do what they can, I guess. But the thing is, you personally, if you have that desire to study the Bible more, that even if you have to stay home to do it, then by all means, study God's Word. Our people perish for lack of knowledge of God's Word. Okay, you're doing good. Carol from Kentucky. Is it okay to pray that my dad has found peace in heaven at this time? I'm not judging, just asking. No, it doesn't do any harm. Okay, doesn't you? Our Father loves for you to talk to Him. Okay, and to pray that He touch your father. He's our God is a God of love. He loves His children. It's sure not going to do any harm, and it might do a lot of good too. You know. Our Father, it is written in one place that our righteous acts cover a multitude of sins. Okay, in other words, our Father hits the even balance of what we're, your life balances out, and naturally we're judged by what's written in the book of life. And when you repent, all the bad is erased, but that good stays there. So it doesn't... talking to our Father, which is what prayer is a wonderful thing. You can do it driving a car. You can do it while you're working. Don't do it out loud at work, okay? Because that's the wrong place to try to plant seeds. Sometimes is where you work to sustain yourself. But you can talk to the Father without even opening your mouth. You can pray anytime, anywhere. Julie from Kentucky. Will you please explain Deuteronomy 22, verse 5? People say that means not to wear pants. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. My parents raised me to wear long dresses and no pants. We could not cut our hair. No dolls considered, no TV, so many things I felt I was neglected of. I'm now 35 years old and still wonder about the wearing pants. Is it wrong? Well, let's go back to when Deuteronomy 22:5 was written. What kind of clothes did men wear? What did it mean to gird yourself up? Men wore dresses. Okay. They wore skirts. And when you girt yourself, you take your belt off and you pull that skirt up between your legs so your legs are free so you can do battle, run from the enemy or fight the enemy, okay, whichever the case might be. Women, if you were to wear a dress, then you would be wearing it. It's speaking of sex. And what it means is, and you can read of it again in Romans chapter 1, a woman should never take a man's place in a sexual act, nor vice versa. Okay, that's all it means. And as far as and it's too bad that some churches show ignorance of what it does mean. And I'm sorry that, but you, it didn't harm you. Now you're 35. Think for yourself. And cutting your hair, it means keep the veil of Christ over your head. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10, because of the angels that are going to be kicked out of heaven soon. Has nothing to do really with hair, but keeping Christ over your head. I hope that helps you. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. Makes His day. When you make His day, He's going to make yours. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Bless God. He will always bless you. But do you know what's most important? Tell you what it is. Okay, it's that you stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day. Gaining that knowledge. A good day. Why? Even with trouble? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word.